Hello and welcome to Creative Control, the entertainment podcast. I'm your host, Kenan, and thank you for joining us on today's episode. I'm very pleased to welcome back after a long absence from the show, very much missed. But here today in the flesh, we have Greg. How are you doing, Greg?
Yeah, good. Yeah, very good. Yeah, been busy, hence not having a chance to come on for a while. But yeah, I'm delighted to be back. I get very excited around Oscar time, and I really particularly enjoy previously having done the Oscar predictions and Oscar buzz episode, so glad to
that's
be back.
Right, we did that together with Sasha, but unfortunately Sasha and Neil, they opted out of this episode because they felt they hadn't seen enough of the Oscar movies to give a valid opinion, and I respect that, but also I haven't seen everything, but it's just a case of let's give our opinions on what we know and we'll just take a guess.
We were meant to have watched the movies,
every single movie.
Shit, dude, you're on your own. Bye.
Yeah. Apparently that's the thing. But yeah, look, in terms of the best picture, I actually have seen, I think for the first time in a long time, I've actually seen every single film that has been nominated. And I saw the last one, The Zone of Interest, yesterday, because I wanted to check that one off my list. But but like I say, we're here to do our predictions for the Oscars 2024. Basically, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going through each category. We're going to give our thoughts and opinions on the movies and the categories, see who we'd want to win that category based on our own personal preferences, but who we think the Academy may end up voting for. Okay, and we're going to keep a tally of that. And then we'll come back to do another roundup episode to talk about the winners and losers and see how close we got. All right. So, just before we kick off with that, first of all, I want to say thank you very much again for joining us. You can catch our video podcast on YouTube and Spotify. And for the audio version, you can get it on any major podcast platform, including YouTube Music, Amazon, Spotify, Audible, Good Pods. We are everywhere. And thank you very much to Greg for helping me develop the snazzy new logo. Very much appreciate that. So, big props to you, Greg, for that. Much appreciated.
No worries.
Okay, so Greg, where should we start? Should we talk about maybe some of the snubs before we kind of go into some of the categories? Because I think probably the biggest thing that came from the Oscars in terms of snubs this year was Barbie. Now, obviously, we haven't spoken much this year, and I have no idea what your thoughts are on any of these movies. So first of all, what did you think of Barbie? And should it have been on more lists than it is?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy Barbie. I made a deal with my partner that I'll go with her to see Barbie if she comes with me to see Oppenheimer, and that seemed to work. Cool. So, and then obviously that became a thing, sort of Barbieheimer or Oppenarby. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, Barbenheimer. Yeah.
Although I think Oppenarby would have worked as well, but
that would have worked absolutely. I ended up dragging Emma to both. Ironically, because she wasn't too sure if she wanted to see Barbie, and we went to see Oppenheimer, and then we went out for lunch, and she kept seeing people all dressed up in pink and Barbie outfits in the restaurant we're in doing Barbie cocktails, and she's like, oh, you know, this is such a thing, maybe I do want to see it. So we're like, well, should we go now? And we ended up doing both films back to back on the same day, so we did it. But so generally you liked it?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was good fun. I think, you know, it's empowering to women. I think they did it without it. You know, they had enough of their tongue in their cheek that it was that, you know, that they're getting past the fact that it's, you know, a plastic doll made at the time when women were considered lesser than men and all these horrific things. But at the same time, I'm going to have a hot take here. And, you know, it's not the sort of film in the past that would have been, oh my God, look, this silly comedy film. And I'm not saying that Barbie is silly, but, you know, a comedy film of this sort of type is going to be like a big, huge Oscar thing. And yet there are many films similar to that, I think, that have never, ever expected and even tried to get Oscar buzz and what have you. But everyone's talking about this massive snub. Now, I think it's an important film and it's great, you know, there was a female director and the message it had to say. But I'm not sitting there feeling that like this is this amazing biopic that is, you know, massively sort of being left out of something where it would normally be sweeping the awards. It's not the sort of thing that normally goes into it. And I think Margot Robbie has been much better in other things. I think she was great as Barbie. I think she looks part. I think she was excellent, but she was nowhere near as good as she was in things like I, Tonya and the like. So
yeah, or even Babylon, which I think was the previous year, right? I agree with you 100%, because when it all kicked off and I was just like, I can understand the premise, but just because a movie is the most successful box office wise doesn't equate to it being in the Oscars. And we've seen that over the years with pretty much every superhero movie, every Marvel movie or whatever it is. Disney's at the top of the pile with their movies, but it doesn't automatically mean that. And I agree, it was an important message, but when you look at sort of like the female lead performances, there are five better performances than her this year. And I genuinely believe that. Yeah. So you can't just give it for, you know, the sake of it. You can't just do it because you think it is due. It has to be on merit. And I agree, you know, you know, there've been plenty of comedies out there over the years, which, you know, people have laughed. They perform well at the box office, but they're not looked at the same light. And you can't just nominate a film because of the subject matter.
I agree. I mean, the only thing that I think is a little bit sad is obviously it is quite a male-dominated industry when it comes to directors and, you know, the technical side and the like. And I think anything that would help sort of encourage more sort of female directors and female voices in cinema, I think, would be a really positive thing. But I don't think giving awards where they're not necessarily due is the way. So personally, I'm not going to lose any sleep if Barbie doesn't win anything. Though, in a very strange way, I'm hoping it either doesn't particularly win much at all, because I don't think it necessarily deserves it. I think there's one category where it probably will win something, which we'll get to. But I think I'm not going to lose sleep if it doesn't win. But if it is going to win, I kind of then I'm going to go completely the other way. And just so there's something to talk about, you know, the year after the famous Slapgate, I hope it wins in every category it's done, just to make people kind of shit a brick and go, what the... Because it would be hilarious. Barbie just wins every category that's nominated.
It just dominates.
The one thing and the one thing it deserves, or everything just for the shit.
Or everything, absolutely. And I can understand some people's frustrations thinking the Academy's missed the point of the movie where they say Barbie wasn't nominated, but Ken was. And I kind of get that. But for me, again, in terms of best supporting roles, I thought there were better performances this year. I don't see Ryan Gosling's performance as being anything particularly special. Yes, he was enjoyable in this movie, but again, for me, he's not placed there. But in terms of like for like, we did have best actress in a supporting role with America Ferrera. So if you're comparing like for like, we both got a nomination in both supporting categories, just not the lead. So it's not a case of Barbie missing out, but Ken getting it. Okay, Ken got it, but America Ferrera's her character got a nod as well. So
I know there's a certain life imitating art sort of irony to that, you know, and people go, well, that's the whole point of the movie and rah, rah, rah. But it's like, you can't, again, you can't sort of like guilt people or blackmail bribe. No. Sort of.
I actually thought Ken did more in this movie that warranted a nod.
Yeah.
Because, you know, yes, okay, you know, the Barbie character's carrying the story, but it's very just kind of shocked faces, smiling. A lot of the humor and the delivery came from the Ken a lot of the Ken characters as opposed to the Barbie characters. So but hey, it is what it is there any other films that you think should be mentioned that haven't been? I've got one in particular, but have you?
There's a film I went and saw this year, again, like you mentioned, that you went and saw sort of Oppenheimer and Barbie in one sitting. The last time I went to the cinema, I saw two in an afternoon again with my partner. We went and saw Wonka just because of the nostalgia and wanting to,
of course,
you know, sort of feel the feels about the old classic Wonka. Yeah. We don't talk about the Depp one. We love Depp, but we don't talk about the Depp one.
We don't talk
But at the same time, so I sort of, you know, we got ourselves nice and jolly and then prepared ourselves for the gut punch. That was a great film called One Voice, which, not One Voice, One Life, which is a story.
One Life,
It was a film with Anthony Hopkins playing the older version of a character that was also played by another actor that I apologize for not knowing. But and it was the story of Nicholas Winton, who was basically, to the Czech people, was their Oscar Schindler. And my partner saw him in the Czech Republic. And he went there as a student during the war and helped get out hundreds of children from Nazi occupied. And those of our generation or older will remember it from a very poignant sort of episode on Esther Ansem's That's Life, where there's an old man sitting there and they said, you know, is the person sitting next to you was one of the children, and he's all teared up and goes, oh my God. And they said, is there anyone else here that owes their life to it? And then everyone in the audience stands up and you just kind of go, oh my God, it gets you in the field.
Yeah.
And yeah, this film recreated that moment and told the whole story. And it was absolutely fantastic. And I mean, I personally just think that Anthony Hopkins can do no wrong from, you know, from The Elephant Man to Hannibal Lecter to The Father and all these things recently. He's, you know, he deserves the praise. But maybe because he's had some recent praise, maybe it's been ignored or snubbed. But, well, not snubbed. I don't think it's been snubbed. I just think that it wasn't. Maybe they didn't push for that side of things. But I think it was a brilliant film. It's a shame it didn't do better.
Okay. Right. Yeah, no, so it's a good shout. Is one that I've got ready to watch, but I just haven't watched as of yet. So, because I think that, what, again, that's a movie that I know that Emma will enjoy. So I've kind of kept it back to, because
enjoy is a very open term. There.
Yeah, no, in terms of this, she'd appreciate it and like it. Yeah, no,
there probably, wasn't, I'm sure, a dry eye in the house, watch, including all the men as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So another film for me, which I think deserves a bit more praise, is The Iron Claw. So this was the Zac Efron movie, where they cover the lives of the Von Erichs, and it's based on the sort of wrestling industry, 70s, 80s, 90s. And this one of the kind of the royal families of wrestling, and the Von Erichs, they had, I think it's five brothers in total. Actually, but unfortunately, this movie only covers four, and the director decided to leave one brother's story out because, actually, if they included that, he thought people would find it too unbelievable that all these things actually happened. So it concentrates on four of them. But it's I won't go into too many spoilers on this, because if you haven't seen it, I definitely recommend it for anybody watching or listening. But it covers the period where basically the brothers are trying to all succeed in the wrestling business, and the pressures of their father and the toll it takes on each member of the family. And for me, it was really poignant. I think Zac Efron definitely could have been in that lead actor role contender with this movie. He's fantastic in it. And I think, you know, potentially over somebody maybe like Coleman, maybe even over Jeffrey Wright, even though I loved him in American Fiction. I think there's a couple of roles where he could have potentially taken that. And I think that the craft in that movie is excellent as well. Could have filled out a few other categories. And I think it was really disappointing that this one kind of got snubbed. And Jeremy Allen White as well from The Bear, he was brilliant in it as well. And he could have taken a best supporting even. So, So that's one for me, which I would have liked to have seen, you know, recognized more in the award season this year. Okay, well, look, let's start cracking on with our categories. So first category up, we are going to go with, let's start with the supportings. So we're going to go for best actor in a supporting role. Okay, our nominees are Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction, Robert De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling for Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo, Poor Things. How many of these performances have you seen, Greg?
I've seen a few of them. I've seen Robert De Niro, I've seen Ryan Gosling, I've seen Mark Ruffalo, and I've seen RDJ.
Okay, cool.
So I haven't seen Sterling K. Moss. Mm-hmm. But I've seen most of the others.
So in terms of your thoughts, because we'll go into a little bit maybe more on some of the pictures and different categories, but if there's anything you want to cover at any points, look, this is kind of an open chat. We can do that. Out of those performances, what are the performances that grabbed you this year?
So, I mean, Robert De Niro was good, you know, as you'd expect of him. He's Robert De Niro. He's you know, considered one of the best actors of all time. I know he's had a varied career and has recently done mixed fare and is quite happy to make a buffoon of himself, but he's always dependable, and pair him with Martin Scorsese and he's fantastic, and he was good in this, but not by far not the best actor in that movie, as well.
It seemed like a walk in the park kind of role for him.
So I thought he was good. The Ken thing again, I just don't get it. I just, you know, it's, again, I feel bad, but I just don't see why he's there. He was funny and he was great, but the word Oscar and that role to me do not go together. You know, if you're doing that, you might start giving Oscar nods to Will Ferrell for everything that he's ever done or the like. So it's not normally sort of like given out for buffoonery, and he was brilliant and he was funny, but you know, I didn't feel that he was particularly pushing himself. Again, I think he's done much better stuff that's worthy, Oscar worthy, and things like Drive and the like. But
or even from a comedy aspect, like The Nice Guys, you know, I think he's been funnier and better in other movies.
I mean, really, for me, this is just a no-brainer. I think, and I think it's almost a lock-in. I'd be absolutely dumbfounded if RDJ doesn't just completely walk this. It's his to lose. He's not going to lose it. He's picked up all the precursors to it, you know, with the SAGs and the Emmys and the BAFTA and the like. It's his. He's going to get it.
Yeah.
And deservedly so. He's an amazing actor, and I think people forget because of, you know, his troubles, and then a lot of people are used to just seeing him as Tony Stark, which is still amazing. I mean, he's still the grandfather of the Marvel universe and has held it all together, really. But he's great. I mean, I've loved him. I mean, I've loved him back in the days of The Breakfast Club and things like that. But I really like when there was a film called Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which I just love. Yes. It's just Shane Black written classic, and not as well known as it could be, but him and Val Kilmer together are just absolutely killing it. And he's a great actor. And in this, he was duplicitous, slightly evil, spoilers, people, and brilliant. So, yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, so you got a lock in for both. So that's your want and your will.
I don't even think there's a dark horse. I think no one is going to come close to him and that. Unless a whole load of Academy people wanted to literally put a middle finger and did Ryan Gosling just for the shits and giggles of it.
Just for the laughs,
anyone stands a chance. I think it's RDJ's.
It is. It's RDJ's year. Absolutely. I agree. I think that it was the best performance, and I think you will get it. You've covered it beautifully there. I think the only person that for me kind of would have maybe pushed it, as much as I love Sterling K. Brown, I thought he was really good in this in terms of American Fiction, but I've probably seen a stronger performance from him in This Is Us in terms of the series. But Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things, I thought, was quite delightful. It was great to see him in such an erratic role. It was quite over the top, but it matched the movie and the tone, and I thought he delivered something very unique in that performance. So he would have been my number two pick, Mark Ruffalo, but yeah, I just can't see him getting to RDJ.
No.
Right, let's go to Best Actress in a Supporting Role. So the nominees are Emily Blunt, Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks, The Color Purple, American Ferrera for Barbie, Jodie Foster for Naiad, and Devine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. So there's a couple of performances I haven't seen in here for me. So The Color Purple, I haven't seen yet, so I can't comment on Danielle Brooks' performance in that. And Jodie Foster in Naiad, can't comment on that either. So two films that I haven't seen. So the only ones I can comment on are Emily Blunt, American Ferrera, and Devine Joy Randolph. America Ferrera, besides the big monologue that she has about the empowerment of women and the struggles they have, I don't see much else in the movie that would warrant a win for this. So that's kind of how I feel about that, even though I think she's a very talented actress and I think she'll continue to do some great, great things. And I think I first discovered her in Superstore, which is a great comedy show that I like. But Emily Blunt, Oppenheimer, again, solid performance. Lots of tears and stuff in the movie. But again, when I think back of that movie, it's not a performance that I find that memorable out of all the performances that I saw on screen. But so for me, and I think, again, not a complete shoo-in, but someone who's obviously won some awards this season already, is Devine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers, who I think she is fantastic in it. I think she brings a lot of sadness, but humor and warmth in that role, and she completely delivers. So I think for me, it was the best performance, and I do think she will win it. So that's me in supporting. What about yourself?
Pretty much ditto. I've not seen The Holdovers, but I have seen quite a lot of clips of her performance. I know she's getting the buzz. I know she seems to be the shoo-in, but I have seen some of the other performances. And again, there's nothing I think that competes with it that I've seen, or and in the cases where I haven't seen it that I've heard of, they're like, wow, you have to see this. If she's, yeah, I've seen her in, I'm pretty sure she was in Only Murders in the Building. Was she in that? Or am I thinking of someone?
Who's else? That? Sorry.
Devine, she in that as well?
I don't know. I'll do a quick check. Because that's not a show that I've watched.
But if not, then yeah, I might be getting it mixed up, and which is horrific if I'm getting the nominees mixed up with other people. But
yeah, Only Murderers in the Building. Yeah, she's been in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was in Dolomite Is My Name with Eddie Murphy, and The Lost City with Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum.
Yeah, so no, that's what I remember her from. Mostly Only Murders in the Building. But yeah, from the clips I've seen and from everything I've heard, I think she's a shoo-in again. I don't think there's any dark horses or anyone to threaten her.
Surprises so. There. Yeah. Okay, so let's go to Best Actor in a Leading Role. So the nominees are Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Colman Domingo, Rustin, Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. Greg, your thoughts?
Well, so in the beginning, when you said, you know, that with Iron Claw, you thought that possibly if they were to replace someone, you know, maybe you could replace Jeffrey Wright in American Fiction. I was quite shocked because I thought he gave, like, probably one of the
performances
of his career. I thought that was, I mean, Jeffrey Wright's always dependable, you know.
It's true, to be fair. That is like true.
Hunger Games and makes them better and raises the ante. So he's always good, be it that, Westworld, Bond, anything. He's just dependable. But I don't think he's the best on this list. I think it's a two-horse race. I think it's between Cillian Murphy and Paul Giamatti. And I think I want Cillian to win, but I wouldn't be disappointed if Paul's won it either. I think that he's a great actor and he's very deserved of it. And he's not been snubbed in his career, but he's always been quite good. And, you know, he hasn't had the Oscar love so much. Yeah. But yeah, I think Cillian Murphy was just amazing. And I mean, we're going to start having a theme occurring of Oppenheimer in a minute, but
yeah.
I think Oppenheimer's going to do very well. And yeah, I think he deserves it. I think biopics always go down well with the Academy. It's their cup of tea. I guess it's that extra layer of acting and making sure that, the person is not doing an impression, is not sort of doing anything else. I think they always go down well. And I personally think that his performance in this is certainly better than, say, in my opinion, Sam Raimi did for playing Freddie Mercury, and yet they won it. So with all that said, yeah, I think he's, I don't think he's 100% sure. And I think Paul Giamatti could be a dark horse. And if anyone else is going to maybe freshen, it's Jeffrey Wright, but I don't think so. I think it's between Paul Giamatti and Cillian Murphy. I think Cillian Murphy will get it, and I'd be very glad for him to do so.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm pretty much on the same page with that. I thought Bradley Cooper was very good in Maestro, but I think maybe on a different year, it might have been something that he could have been a contender, because I know how much he put into the role. I think he spent like 6 years making this movie or something like that. So, but I think it's unfortunately one of those films that's gone under the radar a little bit. I don't think there's many people who have seen it. I know it's on Netflix, but I think it's one of those movies that it sometimes for a lot of people is an acquired taste because of kind of the art, the direction of it, and the artistic outlook it takes. You know, you got the black and white, you got the color, you got musical number in it, so it's not going to be for everyone. But I thought he was very strong in there. Rustin, yeah. I haven't seen that movie, so Colman Domingo, I can't give a comment on. But in terms of the two, like you said, the two performances which are kind of up there, I personally would like to see Paul Giamatti win it. I think he's a great talent, and I think he brought a lot of emotion to that role, and it was a very, very sweet film, The Holdovers. It was in my top 10 for last year, for sure. But Cillian Murphy...
Sorry? I'm just sorry to interrupt, but did he... I know he must have got some buzz in around the time of when he did Sideways, but did he ever get an Oscar nomination or, God forbid, a win? I've forgotten, but...
It's a good show, actually.
There was anything he would have won it for, it would have been that. But I can't... I know that I think he got a buzz, but I don't know if he won anything or even got the nomination, but...
A few moments later.
Oh, so he was nominated in 2006 for Best Actor in a Supporting Role for Cinderella Man.
Okay.
So, yeah. So those are his two Academy Award nominees. So, yeah, Sideways didn't get a look. Sideways was 2004, and he got a few other nominations in other sort of like the Boston Society of Film Critics and stuff like that. Critics' Choice, he's been nominated, but no, just those two Oscar noms.
It's such a good job in Sideways that he screamed out the immortal line, "I'm not drinking Merlot." Okay, and it actually caused a worldwide dip in Merlot sales, much to the chagrin of sort of Merlot grape growers. They're like, "Oh, come on, dudes!" It's just like professional clown people now don't have a job since it's come out and revitalized. You know,
the power of cinema, absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, in terms of who I think will win, I think it's Cillian Murphy. So yeah, as great as he was in it, a lot of the visions and memories I have is just him staring. As opposed to delivering lines, but I know a lot of the lines in it are probably quite technical. But you have the speech of when obviously the bomb is hit and he's kind of conflicted with the proudness of what he's achieved for the country and everyone cheering on him, and obviously the realization of the impact that that's actually having is a great scene. But yeah, a lot of the other times in the movie, I just see him just thinking and just staring. I think it's
what was known for, those eyes, the sort of the
eyes,
long eyed stare. In fairness, he's quite good at that role. I mean, that's really what Thomas Shelby does, isn't it? Just stares scarily at you for a while and then says a few words and then...
Yeah.
He does a lot with little, does Cillian Murphy.
He does. That's a good shout, yeah. And it was great to see him in a lead role, I think, as well, you know, in terms of a movie. Yes, we know for Peaky Blinders, but he's had a lot of supporting roles over the years, and it was great to see him just lead a movie. So, okay, Best Actress in a Leading Role. So we have... the nominees are Annette Bening for Naiad, Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller, Anatomy of a Fall, Carey Mulligan, Maestro, and Emma Stone, Poor Things. I think if there was a category which was a little bit more open, it's probably this one. I haven't seen Naiad, so I can't comment on Annette Bening's. I have seen all the other four performances. Carey Mulligan, again, really solid in Maestro. I thought she was absolutely fantastic in it. But I don't think that she's as much of a shout because of the two stronger performances in here. Emma Stone, I think, you know, she's won some awards coming into award season. It was, Bella Baxter was such a crazy character for Poor Things. It's such a, for me, it was a delightful film. It was, and I think a lot of the times when actresses do perform certain ways and get naked in certain films, that can lead to Oscar wins because of the dramatic and artistic take they take on it. But in terms of Lily Gladstone, in terms of that nomination for, you know, Native American woman to be recognized in that category is fantastic. But again, her performances, I found the movie was a little bit of two halves. She was in the movie and then just wasn't, because she was bedridden for so long. It was just her crying out in pain for so long. So yeah, Killers of the Flower Moon didn't quite hit for me as a movie. So for me, out of the two, I would probably go for Emma Stone. And I think Emma Stone might just win it. But if it was who I'd want to win, I think Sandra Hüller in Anatomy of a Fall was incredible. I really, really liked that movie. And I thought she was absolutely fantastic. It's just kind of a face I recognized, but couldn't tell you like her full body of work. But she was also in The Zone of Interest, which came out last year as well, which is in the best film. So she's actually in two films in the best pictures nominations. But she was incredible in this. So Anatomy of a Fall is basically, it's pretty much like a French courtroom drama. And basically at the beginning of the movie, you see a guy murdered, but you don't know how it's happened. Was it an accident or was it a murder? And she's the wife and she's being accused of murdering him. And the only witness really is their son, but he is blind. So, it's a really, really fantastic film. So who I'd want to win it, I'd want Sandra to win it. Who I think is going to win it, probably it's a coin flip, but I'm going to go with Emma Stone. So those are my picks. What about you, Greg?
I'm glad I was tempting to start sort of sort of in insulting your wife to get a slap across on the face from you, proverbially, just to try to mix up and have a little bit of confrontation here, have a difference of opinion or something. And finally, I think we've got one. Not massively,
okay.
But, it'd be a shame if we agree on 100% everything. There's not a lot of
turns. Yeah, take the fun out of it.
I haven't seen all of the roles, but of the ones I've seen, I love Emma Stone. I think she's brilliant. I kind of liked her from Zombieland days and this and that. I still think that Easy A is better than Clueless, and God forbid even Mean Girls, as just this really clever sort of school, sort of horrible people, sort of confrontation-y sort
of, I'd agree.
Sort of kind of thing. I just love it. It feels like a John Hughes movie, and it's brilliant. And so I just love Emma Stone. I think that I think it was Bella Bassett was just phenomenal. It was so strange and weird, and the whole film is quirky and strange. I would like her to win it. I don't think she will. I think that the flowers, the Scorsese,
Lily Gladstone, you think is going to take it? Gladstone
will get it. I think I agree that suddenly just not being there, for large periods of time is strange. But I just think that her acting, going back to the thing we were talking about with Cillian Murphy, I think what she did with her eyes and the way she,
body language,
she could do with body language and stuff was amazing. And when you're holding your own and even bettering, previous Oscar winners like Leonardo DiCaprio and Robert De Niro, you're doing well if you can hold yourself at that, especially as an unknown. I think getting political, I think the Academy it's going to tick a diversity box, although I don't think that's the reason they would definitely vote someone in, but I think they like an underdog. They like someone who's come in possibly from a sort of a different ethnic background to the majority of people who are in the Academy, and that does something amazing and unknown that can hold their own. And I think it's just got Oscar bait written all over it. I think that Emma Stone's at for really pushing the boundaries, she's at her career best, and it's brilliant, and I hope she carries on doing it.
I'm sure Emma Stone's going to be around for years. She's an actress who's going to be on the Oscar scene for many years to come.
She had a moment with La La Land, I feel that she's, I'd like her to win anyway, because I just thought it was an excellent performance, but I think that Lily Gladstone's going
to
get it.
Yeah, and credit to Lily Gladstone in terms of, she hasn't had a lot of exposure previous to this. I mean, I think it's her first big major movie. Well, it's her first major movie. She's done a lot of more stuff in her TV. And sort of like smaller projects. I know she was in Billions. Haven't seen that whole show. But a lot I can see here just from her page, a lot of TV series and a lot of smaller movies. But again, 22, 23. So it's not like she's been around for a long time. So credit to her, like you say, for putting in that kind of performance, and especially like with the big hitters that were in that movie. Yeah, for sure. So, okay, that could end up being the tiebreaker, that one. So, right. Let's move on to some of the other categories. Let's go to Best Animated Feature Film. Okay, so Best Animated Feature Film. So the nominees are The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Greg, have you seen many of them?
I've seen a few of them. And I think it's going to be a one horse race. I think it should be a two horse race. I think that The Boy and the Heron and Across the Universe should be the two that are in contention with each other. Okay. I think that The Boy and the Heron got a little bit of some of the pre-Oscar sort of award buzz, and I think won one of them, which is good because it stops Sony from being too smug and sitting too pretty. But the reason that I think Across the Universe is both going to win it and deserves to do so is just, like with the previous Spider-Man film, is just absolutely testing the envelope with animation sort of techniques and what they could do, every character having a different animation style. I just think it's absolutely, the first one was groundbreaking. This one is excellent. The story is excellent and the animation style is excellent, and there's everything going for it. I think it's just as good as the original one, but it's less of a like a wow moment because we've seen it before, but
yeah, it had very high expectations, obviously.
Yeah, but I think it lives up to those expectations. I think it's a massive shame that the director of Boy and the Heron doesn't get more recognition. Anime doesn't seem to get an awful lot of recognition in the Academy or what have you. But
yeah, have you watched many Studio Ghibli, is it, films?
I've seen most of them, or certainly quite a few of them. And I think the Boy and the Heron is not as good as, you know, some of the better ones, Spirited Away, House Moving Castle, Totoro, Princess Mononoke. I don't know how to say that. But some of those ones, I think, just are better. I think if Boy and the Heron does get it, okay, I'll be surprised, but I think if it does get it, it will almost be in a sort of like a lifetime achievement that they're recognizing the whole Studio Ghibli sort of
thing. A little bit like Leo, probably didn't win the Oscar for his best performance, but it's it's about time. Yeah,
it's about time. Yeah, he kind of deserves it. The guy's chewing on raw meat at this point. Just give him an Oscar. He's kind of working for it. So I think that if he does get it, it will be. I don't think Boy and the Heron is the best of the Ghibli. I mean, they're always good because Studio Ghibli just.
I've never watched one, so I know Sasha keeps telling. I know. Yeah, Sasha keeps telling me you need to watch these movies. I'm like, they're on the list.
And they have amazing, it has amazing voice cast. And again, this one's no different. Again, it's got amazing voice cast. I think it's even using Christian Bale in it, I believe. Because he was in Howl's Moving Castle all those years ago.
Yeah, I've heard they've had very, very strong cast, voice cast.
They've always got amazing. And the English dubs aren't bad. They're really, really good. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a lot of people would say watch it in the original sort of Japanese, but I just think they're absolutely brilliant.
I'll be sure to check that out.
I was gonna say, you just know you're gonna get a good movie for Ghibli, quality. But I think Boy and the Heron is lesser so than Spirited Away, Housemaid Carf, or some of the absolute classics. So
I'm aware of obviously Studio Ghibli films and The Boy and the Heron. I didn't even know it was out. I wasn't even aware of it. So the only time I realized it was there, I think it was nominated for BAFTAs or one of the Golden Globes or something like that. So the only two on there that I've actually seen, which is strange because normally I watch a lot of animated movies, was Elemental and Spider-Man. So Elemental, for me, it was okay, but it's not up to that Disney Pixar standard I would expect. It had some nice themes in it. Very, very sweet ending, but just kind of lost its way a little bit and just didn't kind of grab me with those characters. For me, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse was fantastic. It was my top film of last year, and so for me it's a want, and I think it will, but I do understand Boy the Heron may have an outside chance.
I think if unless I've missed it and it's been done already, I think Creative Control should definitely look at ranking Pixar movies and as
a good shout
future episodes and what have you. I'll probably put some hot takes in there. Ooh, I don't think Up's not as good as everyone makes it out to be. It's got the best opening 15 minutes of many a film, and then it's true.
I haven't revisited Up as many times as other movies, and I think it's the strength and depth of that movie. Like you say, it's got some great moments, but I've got a personal favorite. I'll say out here, for me, my personal favorite Pixar movie is Ratatouille. I just absolutely love that movie. And that's my number one. But it's a personal preference.
I lost you for a second there. You disappeared. So
I was going to say, my personal preference for my favorite Pixar movie is one that I've gone over again and again, is Ratatouille. It makes me feel away. And that's all I can say. So, I know there's Monsters, Inc. I know there's Toy Story, and they're right up there. Incredibles, you know, there's just some fantastic stuff out there. But it's just, I think it's one of the most underrated as well, personally.
I think that this will make a good episode, Pixar movies.
Good shout. That's a good shout. Right, let's move on to, let's go to Best Adapted Screenplay. So, Adapted Screenplay. So, for those who may or may not know, you have two different kinds of screenplay categories. You have adapted screenplay and original screenplay. So the clue is in the title, but an original screenplay is an original source material that someone has written a screenplay or script for. An adapted screenplay is some pre-existing material which they have taken and then created something from that. Okay, so it could have been a book, a previous version of a movie, a play, short stories, poems, anything like that. Okay, so best adapted screenplay, we have American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. Yeah, Greg, what are your thoughts?
I think if there's going to be one that's going to break the absolutely clean sweep of Oppenheimer, which I am slightly predicting that it's going to smash it in most of the categories it's done for, I don't think it's necessarily going to win this one. And I don't think it needs to, really. I think that, you know, it's not one of the first things I watched when I saw this and said, oh, my God, yeah, the screenplay is amazing. I think it's very clever. I think it's very well written. But I think there are other strong contenders. I think it could do well. I think it is a contender, and I think it could go that way just in a kind of an absolutely clean sweep sort of setting. But I personally think American Fiction should get it, and I think stands a good chance of getting it. So I'm going to kind of say American Fiction is who I think's going to get it, but Oppenheimer could just as easy. This one I don't think is an Oppenheimer shoe-in, where most of them I think are. So
okay. So, yeah, so you're going American Fiction. To go for what? Are you going to go for Want and Will on both for American Fiction?
I think Want and Will on both, just because I think that, you know, I think if you can lose one, okay, if you're going for the game, you can lose one, okay. I think the screenplay isn't, and I know somewhere there's a screenwriter who's kind of feeling sort of affronted right now by everyone going, oh yeah, they don't need that one. Going, wait a second, I wrote this bloody amazing music, and you know, it is a worthy movie to take it away. But I also think American Fiction was absolutely fantastic, and the dialogue was great. So.
Okay, great. Yeah. No, I think that's a really good shout. And I think out of those movies, I think it's going to be the same page. I think it's a Want and a Will for me for both of them. The two possible close ones, so Poor Things, I think is kind of a bit of an outside chance, because again, it was a great story and, you know, takes on almost kind of like Frankenstein kind of movie. But The Zone of Interest as well, very, very powerful, but because of the lack of almost dialogue in The Zone of Interest, I don't think it's going to win it from that point of view, because a lot of The Zone of Interest is the visuals and the sound, and so I don't think that's going to really cover it as in terms of it winning, because I know screenplay involves those things, but I just don't think it's going to fall for that one. So I think, yeah, American Fiction is where it's at. But I think for me, screenplay-wise, probably Oppenheimer is probably my third. I would have put Poor Things above that, personally. But yeah, I think American Fiction is a shoo-in. Well, not a shoo-in, but most probable. So let's go for original screenplay. So we've got Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May, December, and Past Lives. Past Lives I thought was good. It was, you know, quite a sweet love story, but again, not enough there for me. To win. May, December, I thought this was an awful film. I know it's had different nods in different award seasons for different things, and even acting and all sorts, but both Emma and I were just like, what the hell is this movie? Just did not get on with it. Maestro, strong, and I think The Holdovers, again, well, but I think also The Holdovers kind of gave me a little bit like Scent of a Woman vibes, you know, kind of thing. So it's not like a story that we've not seen before. But for me, Anatomy of a Fall, that is fantastic. And I think for me, that is what I would like to win. What I think will win, I don't know if they'll go for it. I think because of the quality of the movie, they might do. But I'm just wondering whether I might go to something like Past Lives. But no, I'm going to go for Anatomy of a Fall for both of them. I think it may... Of all the categories it's been nominated for, I think you'll get probably recognized there. What about yourself, Greg?
Well, I have the disadvantage of not having seen Anatomy of a Fall, so I'm sure I probably, as we seem to be on the same page all the time, I probably would agree with you if that was the case. But having not, I think Holdovers stands a good chance. I agree with the Scent of a Woman vibes. I personally love Scent of a Woman. Okay, I was going to do my Al Pacino woohoo really loud, but I thought it's just going to clip on the microphone, and then you'll have to edit it down, and it's just a too old for that shit. But But yeah, I mean, I really love Scent of a Woman. It's a guilty pleasure. I know it's a guilty pleasure. Is it a guilty pleasure or is it a pleasure?
I wouldn't say it's guilty. I would just say, yeah.
A lot of people accuse them of chewing the scenery a bit too much in that one.
Mm-hmm.
No, but you know, it's a great film. So
yeah.
So, going with what I know, I think I'm going to give it to The Holdovers just because it's, okay. I know a few of them, but I haven't seen Anatomy of Fall, so I'm gonna have to go Holdovers. I can't say securely what I think will win because I haven't seen the one that you think stands a chance. So to be fair and to give you a chance to creep ahead of me, maybe I'm gonna say Holdovers, Want and Predict.
Okay. You could take the points here. Absolutely. This is what it's about. Okay, so let's go to best cinematography. With the nominees are El Conde, I don't even know how that's pronounced. I'm not even aware of that movie. Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Go on, what are your thoughts?
I think it's a one horse race of this one again. I think before I sort of say the most obvious thing that I'm going to pretending there's some sort of build up to. I think Poor Things had beautiful cinematography in the sense that it used really clever effects, maybe using lenses and stuff to something like the weird fisheye looks and strange, and it had some very beautiful shots. But I think that a lot of the shots and the frame of shots is really more down to another side of it, which I'll talk about when the character comes up. So with that said, I just think that Oppenheimer is a shoo-in, I think. And I want it to win it. I think it was so beautifully shot. I mean, no one has done as much to champion IMAX as Christopher Nolan has, and his cinematography is just fantastic. And the Academy love a bit of black and white. Look, we're being very serious. We're using black and white. And when we use black and white, we're using our serious face, and people like that. So... Yes. Look, color and black and white. It's all very novel. But just how things are framed, the shots. It's going to be Oppenheimer, and deservedly so. So definitely almost guarantee is going to win it. I'll be absolutely dumbfounded if anything else comes close. So.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm totally the same page as you with that one. I think it's, for me, it's a want and a will. I think it's going to take it home. Just to touch on that, the color aspect, I thought that was great with Oppenheimer, and it was very much subjective and objective. So,
yeah,
you had one color very much from Oppenheimer's point of view and how he would have seen things. And then you have the other side where he wasn't necessarily present, didn't see those things happening. So then it makes it more objective in terms of maybe what happened there. And I thought that was a very clever way of doing it because, some people thought it might have been a timeline thing and, it wasn't necessarily very clear. But, I got it and absolutely loved it. So, Oppenheimer for me. Best costume design. We have the nominees are Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. I think... Napoleon might have could have had a shout in this on another year. I wasn't a fan of Napoleon. I thought it was dull as hell. And I said in my review, I learned more about Napoleon from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure than I did this movie. So,
he likes ice cream.
Yeah, exactly, right? It didn't even touch it on this movie. I think for me, the movie, it will be Barbie. I think for me, in terms of the aesthetics, the costumes and everything like that, I think it's very much so key to the movie in terms of how you felt about it and how it was perceived. Poor Things, it's kind of periodical. There are some fantastic dresses in that, Bella Baxter wore some amazing outfits, but I think I'd have to go for Barbie on this one. I think it's probably a want and a will for this, I think, but Poor Things would have been a close second. What about yourself?
Again, we're not adding a lot in the way of sort of like locking horns and arguing our points furiously on this podcast. I agree wholeheartedly. I think that I think there's two or three that could go either way. I'm glad Oppenheimer was just men in suits mostly, because otherwise it probably went just for the domino effect happening. But But yeah, I think that I think that Barbie probably will get it. I mean, this is literally named after the dress-up doll. This is why people got Barbies originally, to dress them up. Mm. So if it doesn't win costume, it's a bit of a snub. I mean, but it was brilliant how they did that. I mean, the moment they pulled out the yellow roller boots and what have you, and they're just like the little plastic ones, and they look like plastic, and I just thought this is
they
brilliant.
Did yes really, yeah
but yeah I agree that a close second is Poor Things. I think costume design was stunning, and there's a couple more designs we'll get to that I think were brilliant in that as well, but okay. I personally think that Barbie will win it. I want Barbie to win it, but I'm not at all bothered if Poor Things wins it. I'm not gonna shed a tear for Barbie. Again, it makes it sound as if I don't like Barbie. I thought Barbie was awesome, but it's only in the technicals and in things like this where it really should stand a chance of winning, and it would be a deserved win. So Barbie wants a real. Won't cry if Poor Things win it. I think
it's also with Barbie is the attention to detail for all the premieres she did afterwards. Because every dress she wore to a premiere was a version of a Barbie outfit costume, you know, so it extended even beyond.
I didn't know that. That's amazing.
They after every premiere, they did the side-by-side of the character of the Barbie with that particular dress style. It'll be the colors, the design, something about it. And I was just like, very, very clever.
I think it stands for the best style simply because it's saying, look, this is something that we've had tiny little versions and we've made them in real life. It is as close to a biopic as you're going to get, except from the clothes of the star. So I think for that, it's kind of Oscar baity. And that's the one bit about it that I think it is Oscar baity. It's look, we've recreated this thing. So
agreed. So there's a couple of categories here that I haven't even seen. I don't think any of the movies. So we've got best documentary feature film. We've got Bobby Wine, The People's President, The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, To Kill a Tiger, and 20 Days in Mariupol. I haven't seen any of those. Have you seen any of those?
I have not. How many were there? Was it six?
Five. So we got Bobby Wine, The People's President, then The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, To Kill a Tiger, and 20 Days in Mariupol.
Cool. Well, I'm getting out an app that allows me to roll a dice, and I'm going to roll a dice, and that's good because I have no idea. I've never seen any of these. Get random numbers. Let's change the numbers that I can choose between. Bear with me. Range 1 to 5. This is my way of doing it.
That's brilliant.
Okay. Are we ready for this?
Go.
Oh, it's going. Oh,
going.
Four. Four. I expect number four to win.
Four to win. To Kill a Tiger. It's locked in.
It was insightful. It was brilliant. Oh. Tigers.
Well, I disagree because I think 20 Days in Mariupol is a shoo-in. I think, it's just all in the name. So, but, To Kill a Tiger, very gripping. Best documentary short film. We've got The ABCs of Book Banning, The Barber of Little Rock, Island in Between, The Last Repair Shop, and Nai Nai and Wei Po.
Is that five again?
Five again. Yep. Number generator. Here we go. Locking in.
Number three.
Number three, Island in Amazing. Between. Brilliant. And I'm just going to go. I went for number five last time. I'm going to go for number one this time. The ABCs of Book Banning. Just sounds educational. So there we go.
Yes.
Right. Let's move on. So we have best film editing. For me, I think this is a one horse race. But here we go. We've got the nominees are Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Again, I think that, I'm a big fan of Anatomy of a Fall, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, but for me, it's going to be Oppenheimer. I can't see any other win. So for me, it was very well put together. And so, yes, a want and a will for me for Oppenheimer. I think it will clear up here.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I mean, Poor Things, again, you could argue the cinematography and editing are quite similarly, you know, they kind of go hand in hand.
Almost two sides of a coin, yeah.
Yeah, and again, because I think that the cinematography was not as Oscar baiting clearly as like impressive in that sense, but was quirky and very cleverly thought out. So yeah, I just think that yeah, it's going to be a shoo-in for an Oppenheimer. I think again, sort of when you're editing between two perspectives, you know, and the black and white and the color and cutting between timelines, and there were multiple stories being told at the same time, and they managed to do that with you understanding the different stories and not getting lost in one, and it was always clear which story you were in. And again, it does help that
that's most right because you went from the court case back in time, so you're saying like that time period thing, it's a really good point.
And obviously, as you said, the black and white and color was not about necessarily different times. It was about, you know, objective and subjective views, but it did help that, you know, most of the objective views were in the current time and
yeah, it's true,
you know, stuff, so that helped. But yeah, there was still an extra time in, you know, that was being cut between, and yeah, it was clear, it was obvious, and yeah, it was just yeah, it's a shoo-in, I think, for Oppenheimer, and deservedly so.
Okay. Right, moving on, we've got Best International Feature Film. I've only seen one of these. So we've got Lo Capitano, Perfect Days, Society of the Snow, The Teacher's Lounge, and The Zone of Interest. As I've only seen one of these, I'm going to go with A Want and a Will for The Zone of Interest, but not just because of that, because it was a really, really good film. The way that sound is used in this movie is phenomenal. If you don't know what the movie's about, basically it's about the Auschwitz concentration camps back in World War II. And it's about the General Hoss who was managing that and his family. And they're living in a house right next door to the concentration camp. So it's about them and their lives and how they get on with their everyday lives. And it's like the normality of the barbaric things that were happening. So it's not a gory movie. You know, you don't see anything happening in the camps. It's not that type of movie. But you hear what's going on. You hear gunfire. You hear screams. And it's just they're oblivious to it, you know. And yeah, the way that the sound is used in that film is haunting. So I think... I'd hope it would win it just because of what I experienced, but who knows what the other things can bring. So have you seen The Zone of Interest?
I have seen it. It's the only one, again, that I've seen. I was going to make most of those points, but in the sound category. So I think there is surely got to win. But again, Oppenheimer might beat it, but I hope it doesn't. But anyway, but that's coming up. Spoilers.
Let's move on to that one. So we'll go for best.
Well, happily I can say that I think it will win and deserves to win that one. I've been to Auschwitz a couple of years ago with my partner, and it's such an important thing that I'm so glad I did. But it was as someone who teaches about history as well, it was just absolutely amazing. So yeah, fantastic film.
Okay, great. Yeah. So you've got A Want and Will for The Zone of Interest for sound, do you reckon?
I mean, never before has sound been so integral. The idea that the visuals and the sound are telling you two different stories means that, you know, it has never been more integral in this time. I'm really hoping. I love Oppenheimer, and I think it's going to be deserving of an award sweep. I think definitely so. I don't care if Barbie is left in the sort of, you know, sort of the radioactive fallout of Oppenheimer's win, but I kind of, this is the one where I really want it to go to the Zone of Interest, just because it is doing something with sound that all the other films in the category aren't doing with sound. I think it's so integral to the movie.
Yeah, no, agreed.
And the sound design is so clever that it has to really go to that. And I think it stands a good chance. I'm going to say Want for sure. Will, I'm hoping. I think it stands a good chance. I think it's a two-horse race, and I think this one is neck and neck. Yeah. I think Oppenheimer might pick it up just because the sound design in that is also awesome. It's, you know, it's so clever. They mm-hmm. the way they use silence as much as big bangs, and the way they, you know, yes. frame some of these moments with the sound is amazing. But yeah, not to the level that Zone of Interest sort of created. So
yeah. Yeah, you put all that together really, really well. Yeah, the other nominees for the best sound is we've got The Creator, Maestro, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, no longer called Part One, Oppenheimer, and then The Zone of Interest. Yeah, for me, The Zone of Interest, I really want that to win. I think Oppenheimer might take it. I think it just might just get overlooked when it shouldn't do, but I'm really hoping it doesn't. So I'll put it down as an Oppenheimer. I think we'll take that one. Okay, so we got Best Makeup and Hairstyling. We've got Golda, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, Society of the Snow. Best Makeup and Hairstyling. For me, I'm probably going to go with Maestro for this one. I think the way that he was kind of transformed in the movie could go for it. It was a very stylized piece, but it could go to Poor Things. But I think Poor Things was more about the costumes than it was necessarily. Although you did have all those hairstyles in the brothel and all that kind of stuff. Oh, it's a tough
one. So whichever one you pick, I'll pick the other one just to be, because I'm
to be different. Okay. All right. I'm going to go with Maestro for that one.
Yeah. So, I'm going to go with Poor Things then. I think.
All right.
You mentioned earlier that Bradley Cooper's put like 7 years of his life into this, and mm-hmm. it just sucks that he's come into a year where there's such strong contenders and everything, and Oppenheimer is just one of those once in every few years movie that comes along and deserves the praise it gets. And I feel for him because you spend all this time, two-thirds of a decade. Just sort
there's
of
another year together. He could have been nominated in Best Director, and he's not getting that shout either. So, you know.
The makeup and the wig on him in particular were amazing and quite impressive because it changes his look. But I just think that was really, it was all about him. Yes. And I think whereas, you know, in Poor Things, I think it was generally more across the board. Although, Emma Stone's look really was quite obviously amazing makeup feat. But yeah, I could go either way. But I'll say, I hope. Well, I think and hope then it goes to Poor Things, but it could go to Maestro equally. Mm. But I'm gonna, as I said, I'll go with the one that you don't pick. So.
Yeah, no, I think, the way you put it there, I think probably you're right with Poor Things, but I'll stick to what I've said, so we'll go with that. Okay, we've got Best Original Score. So we have the nominees, American Fiction, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Thoughts, Greg?
I mean, again, Poor Things was really good. It was part score, part soundscape. They did a lot of plucky string things and stuff like this. Dial of Destiny. I love the Raiders theme as much as the next man, and probably more so. I think John Williams is a genius, and he's one of my favorite composers along with Zimmer and stuff. But they haven't done anything particularly. It's not like when he churned out Duel of Fates in Phantom Menace, and you went, oh my god, it's a new take, there's something amazing. I couldn't tell you anything that wasn't the Raiders March from Dying of Destiny. Poor Things again was good, and I think there's but I think nothing is going to compete with Oppenheimer again. It's sounded a bit like there's not a lot of tension in this year, I don't think, to be honest. And I think it is the most Oscar baity score ever. It is soaring melodies and very strong or what have you, but it is also a very powerful and deserved things. I'm not saying that the composer in any way is just running in, that he's done an amazing job. I've forgotten the name of the composer, but Ludwig something, I don't know.
Ludwig Göransson, I think it is. Göransson.
Yeah. Absolutely deserves it. I think an amazing score that helps tell a very powerful tale in the sense, and deservedly so, and right up the Academy's street as such. So I think and will.
Okay, yeah, I've got nothing to add to that. I concur. Ditto. So yeah, we'll move on. Best original song. We have The Fire Inside, Flaming Hot, which is actually a really sweet movie, and I don't know if many people have saw it, but it's again one of those true life biopic movies about the guy who created the Flaming Hot Cheetos. I think it was on Amazon Prime, I think you can get it, but yeah, very good. You've got I'm Just Ken, Barbie, It Never Went Away, American Symphony, A Song for My People, I'm not going to try and pronounce the other version of it, Killers of the Flower Moon, and What Was I Made For, Barbie. Yeah, strange category this year. I only see it being one of two songs, and I think it's going to be from Barbie. I think I'd probably prefer I'm Just Ken to win it. No bias because of my name, but I think maybe What Was I Made For might take it. I think that might be a little bit more acceptable to people. But yeah, I'm Just Ken. It's probably the most memorable thing I have from that movie. But there we go. What are your thoughts on original song?
Again, we're singing from the same hymn sheet. I'd like to point out to any of the viewers stroke listeners that we do not confer on this beforehand. Okay. If it's not full of the sort of, you know, the Will Smith, Chris Rock sort of rivalry you're expecting, we apologize. We generally just seem to come from this, you know, from the same place. But yeah, I agree. I think it's a two horse race and both those horses are in Barbie. I think it's going to be I Am Ken or Billie Eilish's song. I'm going to say Once and expect it to be Billie Eilish's one. And the reason I want it to be is I think Ryan Gosling's performing in it at the Oscars. I think he's going to have his moment. I don't think he's going to get Best Supporting Actor. There's no way. I'd absolutely shit a brick if he won, that'd probably be the shock
of the night.
Right? That would be amazing.
Yeah.
I'm almost hoping there's a sort of a Warren Beatty sort of misread just for a moment, so they get the look on RDJ's face. But RDJ wins that one. So I think his moment will be performing it. But I Am Ken was hilarious, but I think, you know, there's a little bit more depth in the thought of, you know, the Billie Eilish one's the end credit song. There's more depth. And I know that it's quite personal to Billie Eilish. And I've seen an interview where she's talking about it and she really wants it. I think Ryan Gosling's going to be doing it. She, you know, it means a lot to her. And I think that, you know, I'm not going to say up and coming. She's, you know, quite big now, but I think it would be really nice for her to get it. So I'm going to say Want, although I'd be quite happy for Ryan Gosling to get it as well. But yeah, I'm going to say Want and expect that one to get it.
Okay. Right. So we're going to Best Production Design now. The nominees are Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. I've got my thoughts on this, but I'd like to hear yours first, Greg. Go on.
So Oppenheimer, I'm hoping doesn't get this one. I don't think it deserves it over two others. I think that Oppenheimer is going to sweep up most of them, including some still to come. I just don't think that it deserves it, really. I mean, it looks cool and it's great, but I don't think it was a real production design, you know, massive feat, not on the scale of some other films. I think that personally, I think the weirdness of, you know, of Poor Things, this strange buildings, the shots, it's all very surrealist almost and strange. I think that is a deserved nominee. And I think creating a world that is bright pink and plastic looking and stuff like that is also a massive feat, as well as in Barbie they transition from that to the real world and then to this weird surreal sort of like limbo area and then back to the real world
aspect of the car and the boats and everything.
But the shots of the houses, they look like miniature houses, and the shots of things, they look plastic. They did such a good job. So I am going to say, just because I think Barbie is going to win the best song guaranteed, But I'm still going to give it to Barbie. I kind of want them to get something, and someone has put so much work there to make it look like cheap plastic. It's quite a lot of work to make it look that cheap and toy-like, and I think that was amazing. I think it's a two-horse race between Poor Things and Barbie. I would be really disappointed if Oppenheimer got it. There's a chance they'll give it to that just because it's doing a sweep and they want it to do a Ben-Hur or a Return of the King, just get everything. But I don't think it deserves it compared to those two. I think a lot more work has gone into those to create it. So I'm going to say want and expect Barbie, but Poor Things could, you know, sort of upset me. And it, well, not upset me, it could win it, and I wouldn't be too upset, to be honest. So
I'll just go slightly different on them, because I agree with you, but rather than to stay the same, I would like Barbie to win, but I'm going to put down Poor Things as maybe taking it home, because again, I think it's a film that it is regarded by the voters in terms of its quality. And I was, you know, quite taken back by the production of it when watching it. I think you're totally right. You know, some of the spectacles, the scenery, I didn't expect it to be as quirky and out there as it was, because obviously the film starts off kind of like, it could be like a medieval street in London, you know, 1800s London. But then when you start seeing these like voyages and they're on the ship and all these other like places they're visiting, you're like, oh wow, it's really something quite different. So like I said, I wouldn't be opposed to Poor Things winning it. But I think, yeah, Barbie and what it managed to achieve and the way it made you look and feel, I thought was fantastically done for that kind of project. So yeah, but I'll want Barbie to win, but I think Poor Things might take it. Okay, so let's move on to another technical one. So we've got Best Visual Effects. So the nominees are The Creator, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, and Napoleon. Greg, thoughts?
I think it's a two-horse race. I don't think Napoleon particularly deserves it. Guardians of the Galaxy is always good, but it's, you know, the visual effects by Marvel are normally pretty good. I mean, the odd She-Hulk and things aside, you know, they're pretty good at it. They're smashing sort of like de-aging a lot better than some of the other things, I think. Yeah. You know, their Kurt Russell was better than the weird plasticky faces from The Irishman and things like that. So leading the charge in things like that, and deservedly so. But then it's, you know, it's Disney.
Yeah. I thought Harrison Ford was fantastic as well.
Harrison Ford was absolutely brilliant. And again, that, you know, that's amazing. But none of these are kind of groundbreaking. It's not the first time we've seen it. They're just getting better at it. You're getting less of the weird uncanny valley feel. But that said, I think I haven't seen Godzilla Minus One, but I have seen quite a few clips of it in preparation for this. And I just think that it looks absolutely brilliant and the effects are stunning. Obviously, they've re-released it in black and white. And we love black and white because it's very serious. But
yes,
I love that. But I want, and I also expect, The Creator to run away with it. I think not only are the effects absolutely amazing, and, you know, but I just also know that it was done with a fraction of the budgets of the other ones. And it just reminds me of, you know, this guy who obviously comes from the effects industry has just kind of said, I can do it for cheaper and without losing any quality.
I think it came in at 100 million.
Yeah. Which, you know, for what it is crazy. You know, nowadays 100 million isn't what it used to be. 100 million used to get you a lot more. So
that's like TV shows now, that kind of money. So
yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? The effects are absolutely stunning in that. I think production design on that could have got a nod in a way as well, and The Creator, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But I certainly think the effects, I think it's absolutely amazing. And for doing more with less budget, then yeah, The Creator wants and expect.
Okay. I'm going to take a slightly different one on this. So I've seen all of them. Godzilla Minus One, I thought, was fantastic. Really, really enjoyed that. And that movie had between a $10 and a $12 million budget. And I think what they managed to achieve on that budget, for me, they deserve it. Whether they'll win it, I don't know. But I'm wondering whether the Academy or the voters might take a stance and say, actually, this is what you can achieve when it's done right, as opposed to throwing money at a film and its budget. But that could also be said for the creator, because again, because of the scale of that movie, the fact that it had that sci-fi element, you know, it was doing a little bit maybe more with it. But yeah, I'll go a little bit different. So I'm going to go Godzilla, Want and Will. Again, just throw another little spanner in there. But yeah, I hope it takes that one home. Okay, so I'm just telling you to check through. I think we've done all the categories now, except for Best Directing and Best Picture. What would you like to do first, Best Directing or Best Picture?
I mean, I think Best Directing, and it always leads up to Best Picture. I mean, I don't think it really matters. Yeah. I'm not going to be random generating this one. I think we're probably going to be on a similar page, as is most of the world and the whole of the Academy. But let's pretend that there's some sort of suspense.
Let's pretend that we'll go through the nominees. So Best Directing, we have Anatomy of a Fall, Justine Triet, Killers of the Flower Moon, Martin Scorsese, Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan, Poor Things, Yorgos Lanthimos, and The Zone of Interest, Jonathan Glazer. So out of the Best Picture films, I was probably quite surprised by the Best Directing. It was quite refreshing to see some of those films in there, like The Zone of Interest and Anatomy of a Fall. I really appreciated that. Again, Martin Scorsese, Killers of the Flower Moon, I don't know why he got nominated for so many categories. I don't think he potentially deserved to be in this compared to some of the other films. But that's just me. I think Christopher Nolan will take this. And to be honest, because of the achievement, as much as I like Anatomy of a Fall and Poor Things, I think the achievement in this kind of movie, the scope and everything, I think he probably deserves to take it as well. I wouldn't be unhappy if Poor Things or even The Zone of Interest or Anatomy of a Fall took it. But I think it's also one of those where Nolan hasn't won. It's probably about time that he wins. And so I think he will take it. So that's kind of how I see it happening. Do you see anything other than Nolan win?
No, not at all. I think he's deserving of it. You know, Nolan is one of those names like Scorsese that people want to work with now. You know a Nolan film's going to be impressive. You know it's good. A lot of people get excited about working with Nolan, and obviously he's got his cast members that keep coming back, so he's doing something right as the director. Even if the films weren't great, people must like him as a person, so he's clearly a top bloke, as well as very talented and very clear visionary. So I think he's got it. I don't think there's gonna anyone that's gonna come near him. I agree with you, Scorsese. It's not just you. I think the Scorsese, it's almost like it's like he's like royalty. You have to kind of like, as if Scorsese is a director, you better put him in there because it's Scorsese. But and I thought Killers of the Flower Moon was good, but it was a bit weird at the places, and I don't think it's his best. I personally love him when he's doing the genre that he's more famously known for. So
I think someone like Bradley Cooper for Maestro, or even the Holdovers, I think either of them could have taken Killers of the Flower Moon place easily. I don't know if it's because, again, the scope of the movie, or because it was an Apple movie and they've been having words, but yeah, I was quite surprised.
Who knows?
Okay, so that takes us on to the final category, Best Picture. So obviously they've increased it to 10 now, but I don't think there's any point this year. We have American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest. Tell me, Greg, who do you want to win and who do you think will win?
I want them to read out Barbie accidentally and then them to actually give it to Oppenheimer just to do the whole Moonlight La 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 fiasco, because I thought that was hilarious, and I think that needs to come back. Slapping's been done, that's so last year, so I think let's
oh yeah,
these things are cyclical, let's bring that one back. But yeah, no, I think, again, it has to be Oppenheimer. It's going to be Oppenheimer. And I'm very glad for it to be Oppenheimer. I think there's some great films out. But I kind of want to give Bradley Cooper a hug. He's put his whole life into it, and it's just the wrong year for him. He's just, seriously, yeah, he's just come across an absolute behemoth and just gone, oh, shit. But yeah.
It was, I mean, the thing is, he puts in so much to his movies. He says he's only probably got about 3 or 4 left in him, because he puts like 5-6 years into putting a film together, like The Star Is Born and then this. He just needs to time it right. He needs to look at the schedule ahead, because, you know, you might need to hold it back 6 months to a year, if, depending on what's coming ahead, if you want to take one of these home. Because, again, that was a really great effort. Poor Things, again, I thought, you know, there's probably a lot of films on here which I enjoyed more than Oppenheimer, and which I'd probably re-watch more. And I often nominate my films based on a lot of its rewatchability and how much I'd go back to it. But yeah, because I really enjoyed the holdovers. But what I'd want to win, something different, is I'd probably actually want Anatomy of a Fall to win, because I think this type of movie isn't recognized. But I think Oppenheimer's going to take it. It was the second highest grossing film of last year, is what everyone's been talking about. I think you're right, it's going to do sort of like your Titanic, Return of the King kind of sweep. And yeah, I can't see anything past that being the winner. So yeah,
Nolan's known for doing, you know, he's done a lot of comic book movies, and, you know, people don't, the Academy just kind of have the Scorsese and what's his face, Capella sort of point of view, that they're, you know, they're not normally sort of worthy,
not real cinema. Yeah,
which I disagree. If you see The Dark Knight, it's you know, just as good as anything out there. And I'd argue, you know, some of the Marvel ones, not all of them obviously, but sort of, you know, Infinity War, Endgame was just stunning. But I just think that, yeah, it's his time. The reason he's going to do so well is because they liked him for a long time. But now finally he's doing a film that they can actually go, oh, this is just the sort of thing that we like. So we can give everything to him now. So yeah, I think that it's his time. And I think he's going to absolutely smash it. So.
Yeah. Were you a fan of Tenet?
I haven't seen it. I know, heard so. Okay. There's not another single Nolan film I haven't seen, but I'm just like, I haven't seen it. I really, and it's like, I want to see it. I read the reviews at the time, and everyone's like, it's a bit confusing and a bit strange. But I like the lead actor. I think he's a strong actor. And I just,
Just Washington, yeah.
Yeah, what do you think of it?
I had mixed feelings about it. I did struggle with sound in the movie, in a sense of some of the dialogue was overpowered by some of the sound mixing. And I know this is very much a thing. And as I've heard from cinemas, that when a Nolan film comes out, he's very specific in terms of the levels that it's shown at in cinemas in terms of its sound. But yeah, I do find his mix a little bit troubling. But in terms of a story, I got the story. Wasn't an issue with that. Visually fantastic. Amazing concept, but yeah, I just found it, maybe I don't know, it's just a little lacking in something, and I'm not quite sure what it was. Washington's performance, again, I thought he was fine. Rob Pattinson again was solid. I don't know what it was about this, but I haven't actually rewatched it since the cinema, so it's probably one that I need to rewatch at home and have a look at, because you can really appreciate much more on a second viewing. Same as Dune. I wasn't such a big fan of the first one when I watched it first time. Second time, I enjoyed it a lot more. So some movies, it is just that way.
I love Dune, and I'm looking forward to seeing the second one. I'm going to see that very soon. So, yeah. You might be one of those ones that will be, as much as not seeing a film shot largely on IMAX in the biggest cinema you can find is almost, you know, sort of criminal. I think for the same point that you can actually adjust the mix on your TVs, and you normally have a speech prioritizing setting on most modern TVs now, which will just push the loud brrrr that you like to do to the back. Exactly. Then yeah, I think that's probably not a bad way of viewing it. So yeah, I think I'd be annoyed if I couldn't hear the speech. So
yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. So Greg, any final thoughts on the Oscar predictions this year before we wrap up?
Not really a lot, apart from a small apology to the listeners and viewers that it wasn't a bit more dramatic. It's not the most exciting year for ups and downs. I'm hoping I'll be happy to be wrong if there's a few upsets. Sometimes I like them just to mix things up and to stop anything being a foregone conclusion. But if I don't disagree with if it is a clean sweep, apart from a couple of, production design and a couple of things I've said, I don't disagree with it being a clean sweep for a film like Oppenheimer. It really is, one of Nolan's best. And when you're saying a best out of his body of work, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And I think the actors, the crew, the girl, everyone who's been nominated in some form or other deserves every bit of it. So a bit boring, but and yes, we seem to be in agreement a lot of the time. So
yeah, no, we were. We're on the same page for a lot of it. And yeah, I agree. I think Oppenheimer is going to take home Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor. It's going to take those four for sure. But then I'm just hoping maybe some of the other films will be recognized in some of the other categories. Like you say, given that recognition that they deserve, because, there was a lot more movies out last year than just Oppenheimer and Barbie. So
yeah.
Well, guys, thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. Let us know in the thoughts in the comments. What did you think of our predictions? Are we right? Are we wrong? What are your favorite films from last year? What are some of your predictions for the categories? Where do you see special effects going? Where do you see best directing going? Let us know. As always, you can catch the video podcast on YouTube and Spotify, and you can catch the audio version on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Audible, everywhere that you can get a podcast. We are there. So that's it from us. Until next time, thank you very much and peace out.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
This is the way.
This is the way.
I'm going to make them an offer again with
you. Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
Were you rushing or were you dragging?
That's what she said.
I don't want to brag, but I will. I was in the Avengers.
The Avengers?
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
What is that?
Say my name.
I am the father.
Oh, chills. Literal chills.
It was number 5. Number 5 killed my brother.
Oh my God, I forgot about that part.